Greetings to you in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark, and this is the last day of this seven-day series that I've been doing on different pictures of Jesus in the Gospels. We've been looking at Jesus, and I don't think there's any better thing to look at, any better person to consider, to talk about, to think about, to ponder, and to be inspired by is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing better. And I just have really appreciated just looking afresh and anew at all the different things that Jesus did and all the things that he is, all who he is. He's, as we've been looking at, he's a friend of sinners, and he's the defender of the weak, and he's the water of life. He's the good shepherd, and he's the resurrection and the life, and he's the best teacher and a soul winner, and all these different beautiful pictures of Jesus throughout the Gospels. And today, as I said, it's the last day, and there's a lot to cover if we're going to finish the book of John, seeing different pictures of Jesus in each chapter. But in chapter 12, we see Jesus riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey, and people were hailing him king, and they were putting palm branches down and different, their clothes are laying down, and he was riding into Jerusalem. They were wanting to make him king. Well, he is the king, and we looked at that, I think the first day actually, but we looked at that as king. So here we see Jesus in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John as king, riding into Jerusalem. But his kingdom isn't of this world, at least for the general populace, because only those who believe in him, only those who put their faith and trust in him, is he the king right now. He's my king today, and I hope he's your king today. But he's not the king, he's not everybody's king, but someday he will be, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, chapter 13, we see Jesus as the servant, washing his disciples' feet, and what a beautiful picture. He portrayed servant leadership in such a beautiful way, and I think it's something that each one of us could use a lot of help in, to be able to be a servant, to be able to be a servant leader, even in our churches and our families. In chapter 14, he comes as a consoler, a giver of hope. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So he comes as a consoler, a giver of hope. And here their life is going to be very stirred up. It's going to be shaken. It's going to be the very core of their belief system is going to be shaken when he goes to the cross. And they think that the world won over Jesus. They don't know he's going to rise from the dead. And so he comes to them as a consoler. And he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled." And he's that way today. You know, we can go through things and we can forget about the end of the story, and we can see that maybe things in our life are crashing in on us. But Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Fear not." And we can put our trust in him. What a beautiful picture of Jesus. Chapter 15, we see him as the true vine. And if we abide in him, our lives will be blessed. He, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I think I quoted that right. Read it there, but so he's the true vine, and we need to abide in him. Chapter 16, he's the giver of the Spirit. In verse 7 of 16, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. If it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then he talks about this Comforter, how he's going to reprove the world of sin, and how he's going to be there, and the Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. This Holy Spirit, this Comforter, who Jesus promised to send. And so he's the giver of the Spirit, giver of the Comforter. Chapter 17, we see Jesus, picture of Jesus as the great intercessor. This is the prayer that he prayed to his Father. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. So here we have the great intercessor praying for his church, praying for his bride. And then in chapter 18, we see a picture of Jesus as the model sufferer. Verse 11 says, Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And he saw this, what he was going to go through, this he was going to be taken by the soldiers and the going to the high priest, and he was going to be beaten, and he was going to be mocked, and he was going to be put on a cross. And he saw this cup as a bitter cup, but he saw it as part of what the Father had given him to do, and he was going to finish the work. He's going to complete the work, and he's going to do it with a good attitude, and he's not going to complain about it. The model sufferer, and we can, when we go through hard times, we can take Jesus, this picture of Jesus as a sufferer, and we can go through hard times because Jesus went through hard times, and he'll give us the Holy Spirit, and he'll help us in our suffering, in our time of heartache and pain. So we can look to Jesus. Chapter 19, the uplifted Savior, the Savior of the world, the one who came and gave his life a ransom for all. And he gave his life. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It was for my sins he was lifted up, and he was crucified. So chapter 19, we have the uplifted Savior. Verses 16 through 18 says, Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst, the uplifted Savior. And he did it for you and for myself. And he is our Savior. And what a beautiful picture of a Savior who gave his life for us so that we could be saved. No other person can be a Savior, only Jesus Christ. He gave his life, and he was sinless, and that was the beauty of the whole thing, was he was sinless. And if I would give my life for somebody else, it wouldn't do that person any good, because I also am a sinner. But Jesus was sinless, and he went to the cross sinless, without any fault. He was like the lamb that was inspected by the high priest and saw that there was no blemish, no fault, no nothing on this lamb, but he took the penalty of that person who came and brought the lamb to be sacrificed. Jesus is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. So, verse 19, or chapter 19, we have the uplifted Savior. And then chapter 20, victory over death, when Jesus rose from the dead. And he even talked to Mary and different ones. He says, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So we see Jesus as the victor over death. And you know, there was a time when he rose a little maid, a little girl, we read about it in Matthew chapter 9, from her death. From her death, she was dead. Then also there was a widow's son, and they were taking him in a coffin or casket or whatever and going to the graveyard, and he rose that son from the dead, and he rose Lazarus from the dead, and now he enters death himself, and he raises from the dead himself, the victor over death. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. And then the last chapter, we have the restorer of the penitent. And this is when here Peter had denied him, Jesus came to him, and he said, Simon, lovest thou me? And Peter said, oh, I love you, Lord. And you know the story. So here we have Jesus as the restorer of those who repent. And he can restore us also. If we fall, and we fall miserably even, we can get up and we can be restored by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't take that presumptuously. We shouldn't say, oh, I'm going to go sin, and I know God's going to forgive me. We can't do it that way. But if we truly fall in some way, and we get cold or backslide, we can come to the Savior, and He'll forgive us. So God bless you. Thank you for listening, and I just pray that all these different beautiful pictures of Jesus will inspire your hearts, not only for today, but for the rest of your life. You can think of the different pictures of Jesus, a friend of sinners, and in all these beautiful pictures that we've been seeing throughout the gospel. So God bless you. Thank you for calling in, and may the Lord just strengthen and encourage you in your walk with Him.